All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. First show back after a little bit of a hiatus. Obviously, some things have happened with the team. We are getting ready for the draft. The offseason keeps churning along, and we're going to catch up with all of it today on the show. So thanks for joining us. Like I said, had a few weeks there where I didn't do a show. Had spring break, went out of town, stuff with the family. We're coaching Little League Baseball. We're in the middle of a pennant race, if you want to call it that, as we surge ahead, and a bunch of other stuff. But it's okay, because you didn't miss much, except for the Bucks signing a new quarterback, releasing a lot of players we've come to know and love, signing new guys, draft speculation, combine, this guy's moving up, this guy's moving down, on and on and on. And it's all going to get kind of collectively into focus now, as you know, we've moved past the free agency stuff, moved past all those roster moves. Now you zero in on the draft. So today's show is going to be about that. Also, obviously, want to talk about the Baker Mayfield signing, and not just him, but what the Bucks have collectively done here in the past month as they entered an offseason which was so horrible for the salary cap, and they were in cap hell and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I think they've done a pretty good job of getting things where they need to be. It seems like Jason Light had a plan going in. Seems like he's executed it. Obviously, we don't know how a lot of these guys are going to turn out, but I like what he's done. We'll talk about those things on the show today. So if you want to get in touch, as always, and some of you have been emailing with me and all that even during the hiatus, but the email address is the same as always, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameday, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. And on Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameday. Same thing. So Baker Mayfield is a Buccaneer now. He's going to be brought in ostensibly to compete with Kyle Trask for the starting quarterback job. A lot of people will have you believe that it's not that much of a competition, or at the very least, that it is Mayfield's to lose. And they're probably right. And, you know, for Kyle Trask's part, we had talked about in the shows toward the end of last season, especially that Week 18 game in Atlanta, where it seemed like, okay, the Bucs are locked into their seed. They're going to rest a bunch of guys. Brady still started, of course, and he played. But I really thought at that point, like, hey, this is a chance to see at least some live game action in the regular season. I know he'd done some preseason, but he hadn't even dressed for games barely, let alone play. And I thought the Bucs were going to use that game as a chance. Maybe you give Gabbert a series or two. At that point, we knew he wasn't going to be back on the team after this season anyway. Okay, play him a little bit just in case he has to come in during a playoff game. But Trask, this game's about Trask. And then they didn't do it. Like, they went Brady, obviously, for a little bit, but then they went Gabbert most of the way. And Trask got garbage time with third stringers and just pretty much the same as we'd seen in the preseason. Just not even a real look. And I know that much of the same had been going on in practice, where, of course, especially outside of training camp, you're not going to really get many quality reps as the third stringer, or you're running scout team or whatever. So I just got the general feeling, and still have the general feeling, that the Bucs don't think that highly of Trask and don't feel like he's the guy. Now, that doesn't mean he's not. Teams are wrong all the time. But now that Baker Mayfield's being brought in again for this quote-unquote competition, it feels like it's Mayfield's job to lose. I'll say this about Baker Mayfield, okay? You know, I know all the knocks on him. His accuracy, his completion percentage isn't as high as you'd like. He had a couple of decent seasons with it earlier on in Cleveland, but most of the time he's hovered around 60%, you know, kind of that mid-tier, maybe even a little bit below mid-tier, you know, accuracy. Had a few picks and things like that in Cleveland. Cleveland was not a good situation for him, as it is not for most guys that go there. But then he went to Carolina, didn't work out there. Of course, he had the cameo with the Rams the last few weeks of the season this past season and looked pretty good. Nevertheless, now he's a Buck. So, hey, everybody says this is his fourth team in like 3 years, and nobody any good would be on four teams in 3 years. Maybe not. You know, you might be right. But given how he looked, and everybody remembers that big comeback on, what was it, Thursday Night Football? Although the Rams offense hadn't done much. He had just gotten there like the day before or something like that. But then he led that 98-yard comeback drive. But the next week or the week after that, whatever it was, against the Raiders in Vegas, had a huge game, lit them up. They scored like 40, 50 points, whatever it was. And I guess here's what I'm getting at. Here's the question I'm going to ask all of you. Because I have a lot of people I talk to. I always go to the Joe Bucks fan articles on the website. I read the comments. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. But I'm always a comments guy. I don't usually post in the comments, but I read them. And I see people going, oh, Baker Mayfield, blah, blah, you know. The Bucks had a chance to get the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady and put people around him to do it, did all those things, and won the Super Bowl knowing there was going to be a bill to be paid on the other side. So now we're doing that. Again, they won the Super Bowl. Given the constraints they faced and are facing, what do you want the Bucks, like, what do people want the Bucks to be doing right now? Because I think for a team that mortgaged the future a little bit to win a Super Bowl and did it, and is now in that future that was previously mortgaged, I think they're doing some, I mean, this is about as well as I would have hoped, right? And Baker Mayfield, I'm not saying he's going to be the next guy to lead the Bucks to a Super Bowl. Obviously, I hope we just keep taking turns going to the Super Bowl with a series of quarterbacks, or we find another, you know, our own version of Patrick Mahomes, and we go to multiple ones with another, the same guy. I hope that every team's trying to do that. But the Bucks actually did it, okay? And not every team has done that. And so now, here we are again, recollecting, moving forward. And I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl in 2023. Neither do you. But I will say this. You can go into these seasons sometimes, these quote-unquote rebuilding seasons, with a pretty poor outlook. And you can be down, and you can feel like there's not even a reason to watch the games before they even start. I don't feel that way, do you? Like, I'm actually kind of excited. It's not because I think the Bucks are going to go, you know, 12-5 or something. But I don't feel that hopelessness that often comes after you get to the highest of highs, and then, you know, it all gets blown up, and then you're starting from nothing again. I don't feel that way. I feel like we have a good general manager in Jason Light. I feel like he had a plan. I feel like he's been executing that plan. Again, we don't know. It may not work as well as he hopes. It may work better than he hopes. But Baker Mayfield gives him a live shot in a division that is not, and that's the other thing that helps. It's nice being in a division where nobody seems like they're that good, so even if you're not that good, you don't feel like you're out of it because nobody feels like they're that good. And Derek Carr does not scare me with the Saints. And you know, it's not like Sean Payton's there or something. He's gone. So, teams are getting better. Let me tell you who scares me, maybe not necessarily this year. I love what Carolina's doing. I love Frank Reich. Yeah, we'll see what they end up doing with the first pick in the draft. They made that move with the Bears for the first pick in the draft. Frank Reich's a good coach. He's going to assemble a good staff. The Colts were dumb to fire Frank Reich, which I said on this show when it happened. I think that if they had stuck with him and actually tried, they would have been the ones to win the AFC South this past year. But either way, point is, I like what they're doing there. May not be in 2023. 2023 is still kind of up for grabs, but I'm a little worried about what's going on in Charlotte more than I am in Atlanta or in New Orleans as a Bucks fan. But as for our part, and you know, this is the part where the draft is going to play a role, you know, we'll see how aggressive the Bucks want to be. But the Baker Mayfield signing, cool, and we'll see when training camp starts. You know, if Trask, he should get more of a shot in situations with anybody besides the third and fourth string guys who are going to be cut anyway, which is all he's done in the preseason's past. Obviously, Baker Mayfield, he'll start out, I think, getting the number one reps. I think Bowles really likes him. And also, you know, they kept Jamel Dean. Lavonte David's back. I know a lot of Buck fans were real worried about that, and I was one of the – I love Lavonte David, but as long as you can get him back reasonably, I'm all for it, and they did that, and it's great. And, you know, so that's something that's going to help out the nucleus of the defense. Anthony Nelson also back. Just yesterday, they had Seahawks safety Ryan Neal, which is a really good pickup. He was a guy that was, you know, a small school guy, late-round draft pick, mostly a special teams contributor, but kind of found his footing in Seattle this past year. And I'm not sure if Canales, you know, vouched for him or what, but, you know, he's always been a good special teams guy, you know, one of those bottom of the roster guys, but stepped up in the absence of Jamal Adams, who's a Pro Bowler, and had a really good year for the Seahawks, and he's a guy who can help the Bucs at safety. They lost, of course, Mike Edwards, Keanu Neal, Logan Ryan. The first two I mentioned are with other teams. Logan Ryan, the Bucks haven't brought back yet. But my point is, having signed Ryan Neal, yesterday, I don't think changes the idea that a lot of people think they might go after a safety with the 19th pick. And that could still happen, I think. I think they've replaced one of the three safeties they already lost anyway, but it doesn't mean they don't still need more. I mean, Antoine Winfield before yesterday is the only guy on the only safety on the roster to have an NFL snap, right? So they still need that. But let's talk about the draft for a minute because, yeah, what do the Bucs need to be doing here as we get within the final few weeks here? And I think we're all ready for it to happen just like every year. The draft seems like it takes forever to happen. I wish it was like earlier or mid-April instead of late April. But here's where we're at right now. And there was a post on Joe Bucs Fan with Ira Kaufman, the Sage. He wrote one talking about, it got me thinking about Bucs history because I always like looking back. And the Bucs, he was talking about Jason Light's misses at the defensive end or slash outside linebacker, whatever you want to call it, spot, notably Noah Spence. But beyond just Jason Light, if you look at the history of the franchise, like literally the history of the franchise, they drafted Leroy Sutherland with the first pick ever in franchise history. So there's him, right? On the edge now, I'm not talking about like Warren Sapp or someone like that. On the edge, in Bucs history, all of it, after the first pick, which was Leroy Selman, have they ever really hit on an outside pass rusher, ever? Like, I had to close my eyes and, like, think, like, back through the... I was like, oh, well, we had... No, wait, that was a free agent ad. Oh, no, what about, like, Simeon Rice, even Shaq Barrett now. We'll see how he comes back from his injury this year. Any guy who's been anything on the outside edge is like, yeah, wait, we haven't drafted anybody. Marcus Jones was pretty good, right? There's him. I remember from UNC. I liked him. The Bucs don't have a good history there. That doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying the Bucs have, it doesn't mean they have less of a chance of drafting one in the future. But I always say this, and I've been saying it. Up front's where you got to be good. To me, I mean, the NFL draft, corner is always important. Quarterback, obviously, when those situations arise. But beyond that, I mean, you got obvious game breakers in any position who can fall in your lap or who you can seek out or whatever. But can you ever go wrong up front? Like, the Bucs need to be looking at tackles and edge guys. Like, to me, that's who I'd use. If assuming they're going to pick at 19, assuming that, they're not going to trade up or down, and they actually use that pick. And again, I know they have a million needs. I've been hearing people, a safety, Branch from Alabama. Oh, they need a tight end. All they have is Otten. I think it's crazy to draft a tight end with the 19th pick unless it's the second coming of Gronkowski, who was not a first-round pick, by the way. Stuff like that. You can get those guys. But you, to me, up front. Either side. So whether it's one of those tackles, they've been talking about, it's a pretty deep tackle draft. Edge guys, there's a bunch of them that can be had. Will Anderson from Alabama is not going to be there at 19. But beyond him, then there's a pretty deep second cut, if you will, of four or five guys, and they can decide who they like best or not. But you're not going to go wrong doing that. Now, the other thing I mentioned just now is quarterback. And this one is interesting. Since we did our last show, I'm trying to think, that was before Anthony Richardson had his, blockbuster combine performance. And, they got the big four guys going through the process now with, of course, Richardson, C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, Bryce Young from Alabama, and Will Levis from Kentucky. Those are considered to be the big four that will be probable first-rounders and, in some cases, top three or four guys. Then there's a little bit of a gap. And then there's Hendon Hooker, by the way, from Tennessee, who I like a lot. He's going to be in Tampa visiting with the Bucs this week. Maybe you get him in the second round or something like that. There's options, but here's my point. And I am not going to go on my annual mock draft rant because at this point you've probably heard it before, but people go nuts with the mock drafts. And all mock drafts are like I always say, mental masturbation. And there's nothing wrong with mental masturbation, but that's all they are. And I don't like when mock drafts get treated as news. You'll even see on the bottom line, I even saw this once, not this year, but one year. I saw... You know how they overuse the breaking news tab across all, whether it's cable news, whether it's sports. But I was watching, it was either NFL Network or ESPN, I can't remember. And the bottom line scroll, flash, breaking, like some, like, oh man, hey, what's going on? the breaking news was somebody's mock draft had changed from their prior mock draft, and they had moved a key guy to a different spot in the mock draft. I can't remember the details, okay? But that was when I officially said, you know what, this is the dumbest bleeping thing I've ever heard in my life. So I don't mind people doing mock drafts, but like, I hate people breathlessly reporting on them and, oh, so-and-so had... So anyway, my point of it is, I've seen a few mock drafts that have the Bucks taking quarterbacks. They vary depending on people's opinions of when these guys are going to go. I've seen them taking Richardson. The latest one, my good friend Rick Odioso, who used to be the PR man for the Bucks, and now he always does the daily briefing, sends out this email. If you want to get on the emailing list, it's a great thing. But anyway, in his mock draft, he has the Bucks trading up a few spots to take Will Levis. I've seen other ones that have him taking a variety of guys. Of course, like I said, Hendon Hooker's a possibility later in the draft as well. I'm only going to say this. Everybody's got their opinions, including me, about the quarterbacks. You might be a Bryce Young guy. Somebody else might be an Anthony Richardson guy. Somebody else might think the Anthony Richardson thing is the most ridiculous idea ever, and how can you get so falling in love with the measurables when we've watched him play quarterback? And somebody else might say CJ Stroud's clearly the guy. Everybody and their mother's got an opinion, and that's fine. None of our opinions are any more valuable than anybody else's, even the experts, because nobody really knows, okay? But the idea of the Bucks pursuing a quarterback at all in the first two rounds, I'll say this. I completely wholeheartedly endorse it. And I'll say this much too. Do it every year. Because at the end of the day, what are we trying to do here? You're trying to win the Super Bowl. What do you do to win the Super Bowl? Above all else, you got to have the right head coach QB combo, in particular the QB. And that's what I think Carolina's doing, which is why I said I'm a little worried about them, because I think you put Reich with everybody's speculating about who it is with it. He looked really, really happy when he met with CJ Stroud or whoever they end up taking. But that's what you're trying to do, right? So why not, in what is easily the most important position, not just in football, but in all of professional sports, why not keep trying every year to hit on that guy? You're going to have misses with draft picks. People say, oh, it's too, you can't give away a first or second round pick. They're too valuable. They're only valuable if you find a good player, and you don't always do that. I mean, we've had first round picks that have, you know, even before they won the Super Bowl, you hit on some, you don't hit on some. It's not as crippling as people think when every single one of your top three round draft picks isn't an eventual Pro Bowler, okay? I mean, you obviously want that, and you're looking for guys who are starters at least, and hopefully Pro Bowlers. But again, for a position like quarterback, I don't think it's a bad idea. And you can even go lower. It doesn't have to be the first three rounds, although it should probably be at least every couple of years. Take a quarter, keep taking stabs, man. Hey, the more chances you have in the hopper, if there's 30 raffle tickets in the hopper and you got one of them, you got a 1 in 30 shot. But what if you get three or four of them? Now all of a sudden you got a 1 in 10 shot or a 1 in 5 shot or a 1 in 7 shot. Keep trying. So, again, this goes beyond which individual guy you may prefer in any given year. I still don't know, to be honest with you. Every time I read these analysis, I listen to one pundit, I read another, here's why Will Levis sucks. Well, no, here's why Will Levis can be really good. Everybody else is blind to it. Here's why Richardson's unbelievable. He's generational. We've never seen a physical specimen like that. Well, here's why he sucks, because he was actually a good quarterback, you know, that part. Whatever, you can drive yourself crazy reading about each and every one of these guys. Who the hell knows? Bryce Young's the perfect QB, except he's 5'3". CJ Stroud has nothing wrong with him, but every guy he threw to was completely wide open. That was one I saw the other day. Of the four quarterbacks, Levis, Richardson, Young, and Stroud, three of them, the first three besides Stroud, all had, you know, tough windows to throw into, and Stroud's guys were wide ass open all the time. So how can you really tell? Because everybody's so wide open. You know, there's a million ways to analyze it all, and honestly, nobody knows for sure. Even the most highly paid and respected and experienced people in the world, draft scouts, GMs, personnel men, nobody knows, okay? But the point is, whether it's a guy I like personally or a guy I don't have a problem with the Bucks changing direction. And it might not be something they plan on going in, but that night, you know, it may happen that night. All of a sudden, hey, we think we can do something we didn't realize we'd be able to do. Do it. I don't care. Get Will Levis. Get Anthony Richardson. Get Bryce Young, or they're not going to get. I'm saying do it. Do it. I will not get mad. If you had to trade up, just hypothetically, if you had to trade up a few spots because one of those four guys was there in the low teens and you decided, hey, let's do this, and you're like, we don't have a quarterback of the future, let's get one, you'd probably have to trade from 19 up, you know, give your 19 pick, you get that spot, hypothetically, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever it is. That would probably cost you what? Maybe a second rounder. Maybe you can get away with like a third and like a fifth or something. Fine. Fine. People overvalue draft picks. I don't mean draft picks aren't important. Draft picks are hugely important, but the right ones are, okay? So it just goes back to what I said. Sure, you want more draft picks because the more things you chances you have in the hopper, the better a chance you have on hitting guys. But if there is a guy you like in particular at the most important position in all of professional sports, it's okay to give up an extra couple of draft picks to get him. And if he doesn't work out, oh well, do it again. And again, maybe they don't have to do that. Maybe they'll take Hendon Hooker. With Hooker, the knock on him is his offense at Tennessee was not really read-based. It was do A, and if not A, then do B. It didn't really have a lot of decision-making on the fly. It was kind of like very well-structured, which is a testament to the coaching he got with Heupel. But at the same time, well, does that mean he can go in the NFL and read defense? Again, every guy's got a knock. I don't care who it is. Every guy's got a knock. Every guy's got reasons to get excited. You can go nuts pouring over the details. But how aggressive should the Bucs get for a QB if the opportunity arises? I have no problem with them doing that, whoever it is. If they stand pat at 19 and take an edge rusher or take an offensive lineman, that's fine. Safety, a little less, but okay, fine. And I don't want them to do anything besides that. I don't need a skill guy at 19. I don't need a God Almighty, not a running back, although I think that ship's sailed. I don't think we're doing that. I hope not. I don't need, not even Bijan Robinson. None of them. You know, I don't need a linebacker. I don't need a blah, blah, blah. Focus on the meat and potatoes stuff, man, and go out and get it, and then add in the rest after the fact. Remember, when you're in a position like the Bucs, you need a lot of guys, okay? You can't draft them all with one pick. We can't take a tackle, an edge guy, a safety, and a tight end all with the 19th pick. Can't do it. So no matter what you draft, you're only getting one person. So, you know, and of course, there's always the best player available mantra, and that's never a bad thing, but the best player available to me usually is going to be one of those positions anyway, because part of what makes you the best player is your value, your positional value, not just how good you are. So we'll let it unfold. We've got a few weeks left. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can find me at BobbyGameDay. Another thing I wanted to bring up today is something that they just talked about at the most recent owners' meetings, and they're going to meet again in May, so this will still come up again because the motion was not outright rejected, but it didn't get the necessary 3/4 majority. Remember, there are 32 owners, so to do new things, you need 24 votes, not just a simple majority, which would be 17 votes. But anyway, Thursday Night Football, they're talking about making that open to flex scheduling. As you know, they've done this with Sunday Night Football. Flex scheduling is basically, hey, we'll tell you later on in the season which game we're going to put in this slot, or we'll schedule a game in this slot, but then we could still switch it later. And it's always been not that big of a deal with Sunday Night Football because you're not changing the day of a game, you're just changing the time. So it's not as big of a disruption to schedules and people traveling or stadium personnel or any of the other myriad things that go into staging a football game, saying, hey, we were playing at 1 p.m. or 4 p.m., now we're playing at 8:20. That's not that big of a deal. You can do that, you know. But it's kind of more of a shock to the system to start doing it on different days. Like, hey, that game that was Sunday, we're moving that thing up 3 days, baby. Now you're playing on Thursday. Obviously, they would give plenty of notice. They're not going to do this week of or even prior to the week of. But it's a controversial move, and a lot of people are against it. A lot of people think that it's unfair to mainly ticket holders, people who are actually attending the games. And so, yeah, I see that point because, yeah, if you're making plans in advance, especially if you're traveling, like me, I don't care. Like, you can tell me a Bucs game is on Sunday and then they move it to Thursday, and that's no big deal to me. But, yeah, if you're coming from out of town or if you've made plans to go see your team, like for a road game or something like that, I could see how that would be disruptive. I totally get that. But I still don't understand Mainly what I don't understand is the negative reaction from fans about it. Like, I get that people that are ticket holders don't like it, but all fans, people that don't even go to games, people that watch these games on TV are upset about this. And it's amazing. Again, I go back to the comments section. Reading just the comments section on the Joe Bucks fan article on this, so many people are like, ah, this is a terrible idea. Why would they want to do this? They should really just get rid of Thursday night football altogether. If you think about it, this... As a fan with your ass sitting on the couch who's not going to a game or who's not doing anything but just getting home and turning the game on, why would you not want a good game? And if you're the NFL, and listen, I understand what the whole point of this is. They're trying to make money. They're trying to entertain the people, man. Amazon's paying big bucks for this. And even if it's not Amazon, whoever gets the TV rights to these in any given decade, they don't want 2-5-16, or not even, we'll even go later in the season. I don't even think they should flex before like week 12 or 13 maybe, okay? But yeah, you get into December and you've got two teams that are like 4-11 and they're lined up on Thursday night, you pull that game out and you put a good game in there. It's national TV, it's prime time. Like what, if you're, I totally understand that. I'm the last guy who's gonna like step up and try to defend the uber rich, but my gosh, I mean, if they're gonna pay this much money for it, I understand why Amazon or whoever else would want some better games. And as a fan, and like I always tell you, I'll watch anything with the NFL. I'll watch every Thursday night game. I'm putting it on. I can find a way to amuse myself. I can bet on it or something or whatever. But yeah, hey, we got 2-4-11 teams. Would you rather have that? Or this game with playoff implications, we can pull this one and put this one in. Yeah, what do you think? And who's complaining about that? Besides, as said, specific people who are inconvenienced, I get that. But even that, I'd be willing to put up with it as a fan for the once every few years where it may affect me in exchange for having good quality games on a weekly basis. And anybody who doesn't like Thursday night football, I really don't understand where you're coming from. I mean, you don't have to watch any football, but why is it a bad thing to have football on? I still don't get that. And then, of course, people jump to conclusions that aren't even on the table, like, oh, what if you have a Monday night game and a Sunday night game, and then they flex you to Thursday, and now all of a sudden you're playing Monday and Thursday? Oh, my God. They're not going to do that, okay? They're not going to do it to a team playing on Monday already. And they're going to do it with plenty of advance. It would only be teams playing on Sunday. You wouldn't be on a ridiculously short week or anything like that. So, anyway, it got 22 out of 32 votes, which is not enough to pass. A couple of owners abstained. Mike Florio and I think Albert Breer both reported that there was debate and it got a little bit heated. The Glazers, for their part, voted for it. And so they'll come back in May, I assume, with those extra two votes in hand because that's how they get things done. And then they'll vote and they probably, you know how once something's going to pass, they make it unanimous so it looks like a united front. But anyway, they're going to do it. They're going to flex Thursday night games. And as someone who continues to stick my face directly in front of the fire hydrant that is the NFL experience from August through February, I'm right there, baby. Although, again, I would have been there anyway. I'm there for 2-4-11 teams, but I'm really there for 2-11-4 teams if they're playing on a Sunday at 1. And I still said, you know, I really would have added a week to the NFL season without adding the extra game. I think they could have made the money they're making now with the extra game just on that extra week of inventory, Monday night football, Thursday night football, Sunday night football. And then you have that. Now you got two bye weeks to play with, and you could work these things to where almost never is a team playing on short rest. If you combine the two bye weeks with everybody, you know, maybe once a year somebody has to do it, but like it wouldn't be that big of an issue if you had an extra week to play with. Teams would still be playing 16 games. The wear and tear on players' bodies would still be 16 games worth. Only you're playing an 18-week season. I still think that was the way to go. And even at 17 games, you could even argue make it a 19-week season. Then, and I think two bye weeks is not a bad idea. And it gives you a lot more flexibility scheduling-wise, and it gives you the ability to put more games on Thursday nights. And I know there's been talk about, I don't know how serious they are about this, but they want to take over every night of the week except for Saturday. Like, we're going to have a Tuesday night game and a Wednesday night game. And again, for me, I'd watch them all, but I do think you need to deprive yourself of some of the things you love in life just a little bit so that you appreciate them more when you have them. And I don't think I need, even though I want, there's want and there's need, Do I want NFL football every night? Sure. I wish the season lasted 12 months a year, and I wish there was a game tonight, you know? But I think having that Monday night game, then Tuesday and Wednesday, you're on your own. You got to fend for yourself out there. And Thursday night always has been, like, to me, the gateway to the weekend. Even before Thursday night football, they had it in college. I remember in college, the Thursday night college game was always like, hey, we're going to go out. We'll be at some place. The game will be on. That was just kind of like the weekend begins on Thursday afternoon type thing. So I don't mind not having Tuesday and Wednesday football. If they get it, I'll lap it up like a thirsty dog, of course. But I don't need to see it go that far. I think you have to, again, kind of parcel out the things in life that you love so that too much of a good thing doesn't make the good thing less good. And you know, we'll see. That part's years away. But the part about Thursday night football being flexed is going to happen, I think, this season. And while I do understand some of the objections, I don't get the passionate fury against it by some people who aren't even the people that go to games. I'm fine with it. I think the players will be fine with it. Again, if you offer them the money that they're sharing, everybody's making all this money, they can usually deal with some things. Just don't make anybody play a Monday, Thursday, and don't make anybody play two short weeks a year or anything like that, and everything will be fine. So with all of those things said, thank you to the Joes for giving me this platform. I appreciate always the privilege of being on the number one site for Bucks coverage anywhere, joebucksfan.com. By the way, along with Rock Riley, our good friend, the only two media representatives from anywhere in Tampa that were at those NFL owners meetings I just mentioned, Joe Bucks Fan, along with Rock. And look, the offseason doesn't go by fast, okay? But it goes by a lot faster, a commenter said this on Joe Bucks Fan, when you read joebucksfan.com. So thanks for the privilege. Bill Curry Ford, our good friends, they are a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And if you're looking for a car, truck, or van, brand new, pre-owned, whatever, check them out first. Go to the website. It's BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can check out all the inventory there, the completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing. You can get an idea of what you're working with. Then you want to go see it in person. Again, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Go check them out. They've been serving the Tampa Bay area there for over 60 years. And no matter what you end up doing, whether it's a car, truck, or van, whether it's brand new, whether it's pre-owned, you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. You don't have to worry about engine trouble. As long as you own the vehicle that you bought there, you can bring it back, and you are covered. So none of those uneasy feelings, oh, I think I heard a noise, there's engine trouble, whatever, they'll take care of it. Like, it's really that simple. It's a great deal. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com. So it'll be 3 weeks now. In fact, I'm recording this on Wednesday, but by the time this goes up on the site, it'll be Thursday, and Thursday, April 27th, 3 weeks from now, is when the draft will finally happen. Until then, we'll be able to sink our teeth into it further, but it was really good to get caught up with everything today. Thanks to the Joes, thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, and thanks to all of you for listening to the Free Stretch. We are back in business, and we'll be back next week. And until then, have a great weekend. Be safe. Enjoy the Masters. If you celebrate, enjoy Easter. Whatever it is, be safe. Have fun. Spend time with family. And I'll talk to you on the other side. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.